Welcome to the Father's Day. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. Remember, you can support us by going to thefatherstate.tv/donate and click on the link in the description and go to locals.com. And I do appreciate it. Thank you all so much. I have with me today Kali Fontanaire.
Yep.
Am I right about that?
Yeah, you are.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. She is a social media personality and former public school teacher who founded the Exeter Institute, an online K-12 school for patriot families. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello, hello, Jesse.
It sounds like you're very busy with all these titles.
I am. Yes, I am. I think all of us are living a different life than we did 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Unexpected life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amazing. So before I get into the work you did and what you're doing now, are you a Christian?
I am.
Really?
Yes.
And what mm-hmm. does it mean to be a Christian? How do you know you're a Christian?
I have a very deep and abiding relationship with Christ, and I would not be here sitting in this chair if it weren't for him.
Amazing. And mm-hmm. Do you believe that human beings are in a fallen state?
I believe that we have a fallen nature, yes.
But
I do believe that Christ can replicate his character in us if we spend time with him and ask him to work through us.
For those who don't know, and you're right, we are in a fallen state until we overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, what does it mean? How would one know when they're in a fallen state?
For me? Oh, I know very easily. I start hating myself and hating others.
For the atheists who don't know, or the person who don't know they're in a fallen
yes.
state, what are the signs of being in a fallen state?
I think you're just depressed. You don't have a lot of hope. You have no reason to get out of bed every day. I also think that there's also that underlying guilt because the Holy Spirit's working on every living person that's here right now on this earth. And there's conviction, and you're either silencing it or you're listening to it.
Amazing. And mm-hmm. What's important to you?
In general, just what's important to me?
Yes.
Oh, boy, that has changed this last 4 years. I really wanted to be a mom, so children.
Yeah.
But God has closed that door for me to have my own kids. So now it's everybody else's child.
Really?
Yes.
And are you married?
I am married, almost 15 years.
And when you say close the door, you're like too old to have children or what?
It's a couple of things, but one of the main reasons is I always wanted to foster to adopt from when I was 12 years old. I was 13, summer of my 13 year old, I was 13 and I worked in a rehab center for women who were addicted to heroin, and I took care of their kids. And I came to work one day in the morning, and one of those kids was gone because the mom went back on drugs, and that child was put into a foster system, into a foster home. And from that moment on, I wanted to be a foster parent, and I wanted to foster to eventually adopt.
Right.
And my husband and I, we actually got our foster license right before COVID. And we got discriminated against because we were living in California, and they called me about a 10-year-old mixed girl and asked me if I would affirm her gender identity because she was questioning her gender and her sexuality. And I said no. And since then, after that, we didn't get any calls. And then COVID happened. And, you know, imagine trying to have a foster child during COVID. And
yeah.
Of course, you know, they would want you to follow all the rules. And that's not what I was planning on doing. So we ended up just leaving California and moving to Florida, and we kind of we shut that door on fostering just because the system is too messed up right now to
yeah.
foster.
Wow, that is an amazing story.
Yeah, yeah. But now I'm free to work with everybody else's children
yeah.
and make sure that they're being protected and saved. And I don't have divided attention.
Amazing. And so mm-hmm. are you mixed?
I am mixed, Jamaican and white.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I knew you look black, but not really black. You look black.
I get that. You know what? Tell me. From the left, they either tell me that they need to remind me that I'm black, or they tell me that I'm not black. I'm like, which one is it, guys?
I know. That's right. And do you obey your husband?
My husband is the only reason. I know Jesus, and then my husband is the other reason why I'm able to sit here, because he's a very strong man and I'm a very stubborn woman, but I trust him completely. And so I bounce everything off of him. He is the leader in this home.
So you do obey him?
I would say I obey him when he's obeying God, and that's most of the time.
And other times when he's not obeying God?
I would say when he wants to eat badly. My husband, he has definitely a more junk food diet than I do. He'll want pizza a lot more than I do, and I do not obey him when it comes to... Sometimes we'll go and eat at different spots, and...
That's amazing. One other quick thing about that, because I hear this a lot. How does he deal with the hell in you when it comes out? You know how when you're just mad about nothing, he's all happy, you're like mad about nothing. How does he deal with that hell when it comes out?
So our first 2 years of marriage, man, it was like Taming of the Shrew. Have you heard of that?
Shakespeare?
I was a brat. I was a bratty woman. And tantrums, you know. One day I kicked his car for some reason. I don't even remember what it was. Yeah, exactly. Isn't that awful? This is 15 years ago. But my husband is, he will not argue. He will not have crazy arguments. He will walk away. He will not let me argue with him. And I learned that real quick after 2 years.
Nice.
And I will say that we probably argue once a year, and it's usually really mild. There's no throwing anything. There's no calling each other names. There's no threatening of divorce or anything like that. And it's so, like, that has changed my character to be married to someone like that. And I'm so grateful to have that.
And what do you say to women, young women and older women, but younger women who are having that difficulty overcoming that attitude? What would you suggest to them?
For one, they need to track their cycles, because women, this is part of the reason why I am not a fan of having a woman president, especially someone who's menopausal, perimenopausal, or has a monthly cycle, because you are going to get a different woman depending on the time of the month. And that woman is going to make a different decision depending on the time of the month. So when it comes to making decisions for our country or going with there's a reason why men have a different cycle than we do. They actually have, it's within the day. I mean, they're more predictable, they're more stable, but we're completely different people within 2 weeks. And so that has been something very helpful, is for me to track my cycle. So when I know that I'm PMSing or I'm in that place where I'm really irrational mentally, physically, I feel horrible and I take it out on others, I take a step back. I don't do as many interviews. I don't make as much content. I make sure I schedule my time during that time to where I'm not as around people. And I also warn them. Like my husband, he knows my cycle, because he knows that now it doesn't manifest as like mean or being bratty or whatever. It's more just sadness it manifests, because this country's so crazy. But yeah, during that time, I'm just really sad. I'm in kind of a depressed place, and he knows it. I know it. And we kind of get through it together. It happens every month. And then 10 days later, it's a completely different woman. I'm like happy and ready to go do stuff all day. And so I think really being mindful as a woman of your own cycle and how it affects your moods and affects your productivity, and then telling that to your partner, like making sure they know who you are during that time as well.
That's amazing. So from what you just said about a woman being president, you're not for Kamala Harris.
Anyone in their right, I think you have to be insane right now. I really think we're dealing with mental health issues in this country, because people that are willing to vote for who she is and what she represents, and also just go along with the fact that she was installed. She wasn't even, you know, these people that constantly talk about democracy, and now they have someone they didn't even vote for that's their main candidate. And I'm absolutely against Kamala Harris. And I think she's going to be worse than Biden. Now that I'm looking back on it, I'm like, wow, we're really lucky that he was sleepy, that he's kind of more establishment, that he, you know, will still work with Republicans somewhat. I don't think this woman's willing to work with us at all.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. What a shame. I'm surprised, too, that there are people who still support her knowing that she did not win by votes. She ran against Biden at one time, and she called him a racist.
Yes.
She has not done anything for the country, the borders, crime, food prices, gas, everything out of control. And yet there are people who know this, and yet they would vote for her. That's mind-blowing to me.
They're voting out of fear of the other side. You know, they've been so whipped up about Trump. They're so scared of Trump. I mean, if you look at the mainstream media and the way they talk about him, you'd think it's the end of the world. These people firmly believe that if Trump wins, it's the end of the world. It's the end of our country. Our country is done, right? And so they're voting. Democrats like to scare their voters into voting for their side because they really don't have much to offer. Yeah. I mean, think about Black America. They keep voting Democrat. What has the Democrat Party ever done for them?
That's right.
And the reason why, when you speak to most Black Americans, the reason why they vote Democrat, it's not because they love that side so much. It's because they're so freaked out of Republicans. Yeah. And they're so freaked out of the right. They think the right's all racist and you know, trying to take their freedoms, or I don't even know what they think. I mean, it's they're delusional, but I do know what they think, because I used to be on that side. I used to be on the left. I used to voted for Obama, but not his second term.
What? I know I read that you were a liberal at one time. And so describe for me what it means to be a liberal. What does being a liberal look like to you?
Boy, that has changed. I think about a 90s liberal, and they are a conservative today.
Yeah, that's true.
The things that we are having to fight for as conservatives, those things did not exist even just 10 years ago. We did not have to fight to make sure that our children were protected from pornographic books in our schools. I have some of those books. I've ordered them so I could show the people what they look like and what's in them. I mean, these books are so explicit. And we didn't have to fight for that 10 years ago. There was common sense, even amongst the left. And we didn't have to fight for, you know, making sure that our border is secure. That's something in a 90s liberal was totally okay with. Sure, build the wall. That's fine. You know, we need to make sure we have sovereignty as a nation and protected borders, right? So I can relate to someone who's a classical liberal of the 90s. I think a liberal today, sadly, they've taken that term and have changed it into a radical. A liberal is now a radical, a leftist radical.
That's for sure. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So you lived in L.A. in California one time.
Yes. Born and raised.
Really? So do you miss California?
I miss the weather. I miss the strawberries. I miss the Mexican food. I miss being in the classroom as a public school teacher.
Yeah.
I miss my job. It was tenured teacher. I miss not having to, I miss working for someone else. I personally do not like being my own boss.
Yeah.
There's some people that love being their own boss, but for me, it has been, I have to kick my own butt. That's basically what and it's kind of hard. You know,
it takes
really
a lot
well
to be your own boss. That's for sure.
Yes, exactly. And I do really well when I have a boss. I'm just a really good worker. I guess I was trained well by my schools to be a good worker. So I miss a lot of it, but I don't, every time I go back and visit, I am reminded why I left and moved to Florida. And it's mainly the people.
Yeah.
I can't be around liberals anymore, leftists. They're just exasperating and annoying, and it hardens my heart, and I do not want to have a hard heart towards the human race.
Amazing. And so you were a school teacher here in LA, in California, you decided to stop being a public school teacher. At least you taught for a Christian school at one time too, but tell the folks why you stopped being a public school teacher.
I was happy in what I was doing. I taught the low readers, so the students that were behind. I taught middle school and high school. I taught the students that were learning English, so the English learners. And I did not think I was ever going to leave being a public school teacher. I had my career. I influenced my best friend to become a public school teacher, my husband to become a public school teacher. I had set up this little life for myself that I loved. But then about 10 years ago, when I was at a training down south, for some sort of teacher training, something happened that just made me realize, oh, wow, this career is changing. First of all, we were in a meeting and this white male teacher stood up and said, I have white privilege. And I was like, what is this? He was like, I just want to let the room know that I addressed the fact that I have white privilege. And I was like, what is this? I'm like, I already like, and that was the beginning of this whole super color focused nonsense that started coming into the schools.
Right.
And then it went really crazy in 2020. So bad that I actually got a gift for being a black teacher. My superintendent emailed me and said, we have a gift for just the black teachers.
What
and
the?
Yes, exactly. And I was like, okay. And so I went and picked up the gift. And because we were still teaching online at the time, I went and picked up the gift. And it was the most pandering, weird gift I've ever received in my life. It included an I Love Being Black sticker. It had an I Love Being Black pin. It had a Africa continent with the fist on the label. It had a greeting. It had a letter with the greeting of Otep. So they were like greeting me with the ancient greeting of Otep, which is a pagan god for one.
Yeah.
It had honey body wash. It had a Black Educators Matter mask.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I was like, this is not going to work. And then I also got an email from the superintendent asking me if I wanted to lead a group for black kids to meet after school and basically share their trauma of being in a district that is hard on. It was basically just a black kid group for sharing about what it's like to be in a school that oppresses them, basically.
What a mess.
And yeah, so it was getting to where I couldn't be silent anymore. So I started exposing this stuff online. I shared about the black teacher gift online. I shared about the critical race theory lessons that were given to me, but that were that my district was teaching to the students in a required class. I shared about the pro Black Lives Matter lessons. And I started sharing it anonymously on Facebook. I had a private Facebook and I was sharing this stuff anonymously because I didn't want to get fired.
Right.
And my Facebook started growing really quickly when I was sharing this. And I was just accepting every friend request. Like I was going through each person, you know, cause I had a private account. Right. And since then, and then eventually it came out who I was. I came out with who I was before I quit. And I was getting calls to the district for people were trying to get me fired. And also they were reopening the schools and requiring us all to wear masks. And that's when I decided to resign because I did not want to teach in a mask.
And did any of your close Christian teacher friends turn against you?
You know what? That was probably the hardest part of all of this, was the amount of attacks I got from other Christians that I know personally. And that was that. First of all, I want to make it clear that there are some that were awake during that time and they were commending me for speaking up. But I can't tell you how many times I had someone tell me that I wasn't being loving enough, tell me that I'm losing my focus. I can't get hired now at a Christian school. I've tried because I do miss being in the classroom because my school is online and I miss being in the classroom and
right.
I don't actually have to teach the classes for my school. And they won't hire me. I got really close to being hired at a school just recently and then the superintendent found my social media and said, nope. And this
Whoa.
Is a Christian school.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it, what I do is divisive. And I will admit that, like what I say online is divisive. It's if you are left leaning and you find my account, you are going to be extremely insulted, triggered, mad. I mean, I can't even tell you these people get raging mad. You know what it's like.
Yeah.
Like they, and it doesn't matter if they're Christian or not. They are angry at your views.
Yes.
And they will try to shut you down. So, I had a lot. I had, I would say, at least half a dozen people that I know in person, Christians, try to discourage me from speaking up. And I just remember thinking in my head, I wasn't mean to them. I would just block them. I would just not talk to them anymore on my phone. And I would just be like, get behind me, Satan. Like, I really need to, God really called me to speak up right now. And it was hard to speak up. It was hard.
And what did your husband think about you speaking up and what happened to you, the results of what happened? What did he think? How did he deal with that?
You know, what's funny is we were both speaking up at the same time together and we were building a following together as partners. Right. And we would often do lives together. And then Facebook really got crazy in their censorship in 2020. I don't know if you remember that, but
yes.
Facebook, you used to be able to grow on Facebook. You used to be able to share political content and it would go viral. Like I had a video of me and my goddaughter speaking against Black Lives Matter and had millions of views on Facebook. That doesn't happen now.
Right.
And so my husband and I, we were growing a following together because I wanted to do this with him. He's actually a lot more eloquent and confident than I am, but he doesn't have the, he gets angry at social media because they shut you down so much. So he got banned on Facebook and banned on TikTok. Yes. And I did too. I also got banned, but I didn't give up. I was like, he was just like, forget these social media platforms, forget them, you know, because he doesn't want to build a following again. He doesn't want to have to go through all that work and, you know, just to be erased over meme or whatever, you know, he was like shut down over a meme basically. And he just was like, forget it. Me, on the other hand, I was like, nope, I'm going to keep going. Like, I've been banned 11 times on TikTok, and I just open up another account. I open up another account. And that's the only way I've been able to stay alive is that I have to fight against the censorship constantly.
That's amazing. And so you left the public school and you taught at a Christian school for a while, right?
And yeah, I did that for about 2 months, and I've never quit a job mid-year. But it turned out that the principal was really COVID scared. This is during, I think it was 2021, when COVID was still kind of a big thing.
Right.
And she didn't even want me to address I taught the middle school, and she didn't want the students to sit together at lunch. She wanted them social distancing at lunchtime. And I was like, I can't make middle school kids social distance.
Right.
And she didn't want me to address the kids facing them. Like, she wanted me to turn away and not like breathe on them or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't do that. Yeah. So
that's insane.
And it's funny because my husband's been wanting us to open our own school, and I was not having the faith. I was like, I was raised in a poor household. I do not trust the idea of having to rely on our own wits and entrepreneurship to make a living. So I lacked the faith, and I got us jobs as real public school. I mean, not at a Christian school, but it didn't pay very well. And at about 2 months in, my husband and I, we looked at each other and we were like, you know what? This isn't working. And God wants us to open our own school. So we resigned. We cashed out our California teacher retirements and used that money to open up our school a year later.
That's amazing. And were you surprised at the Christian schools and the way they were acting?
You know what? I really wasn't. I mean, I was hoping. I always have hope with Christians. They always disappoint me. And that's why because I think that that Christians are oftentimes some of the worst people to deal with, right?
Yes.
And I think that's just comes with the fact that they are also God's people. And, you know, Satan's constantly working on them to divide us, working on us to be angry at each other. And it can be really, when you deal with the people, but not with Jesus. Jesus is very, you know, Jesus is amazing. But I was not that surprised. I've been hurt a lot by Christians, just personally, just because of my testimony, even because I had a supernatural experience that really woke me up. And I don't share that often anymore, because every time I share it, people just misinterpret it and say stuff about me that's not true. So I wasn't very surprised by it, but at the same time, I was disappointed.
Is it possible to be a son or daughter of God and treat one another in that way?
What do you think, Jesse? I think that we all fall short, you know, and there's been times where I've been, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes this last 4 years since I started publicly speaking. There was a time when I would say everything online, and I wasn't doing videos at first. It was always just typing on my Facebook. I actually never showed my face for like the first year and a half. Right. I was just writing, and I would write about family members that were very COVID scared, or I would write about family members that are supporting Biden, and I would just rip them. I would just throw them out there like, look how lame this person is. And this is a family member that I love, right?
Wow.
And that's so hurtful.
Yeah.
So in that time, God definitely rebuked me, and he rebukes those that he loves. So I think that when Christians are being awful to each other, if you stay in that place, that's a scary place. But if you learn from it and you become a better person from it, that's just normal Christian growth and learning the traits of your character that need to die.
Right. And so do you have perfect peace now?
Oh, I wish. You know what? I do when I have spend time with Jesus and when I, and after a deep personal prayer, but when I go on my phone and I see the world around me falling apart, I definitely have a lot of worries. A lot of worries for our country and for our nation's young people. And I think that's not, and I'm not beating myself up for that because
Right.
we are seeing our nation crumble.
Yeah.
You know, it's so different than what it was 10 years ago, even just 10 years ago. And
Yes,
I
that's
think,
right.
yeah.
And
Yeah. So
so,
I
do you
just,
have perfect peace?
I've had it. I've felt it, what it's like. At the moment, I would say I'm getting there.
And so that, so do you have it?
do I can get, I know that I can be there, but right now I've been very, I would say since Kamala announced, since Biden stepped down and Kamala was installed, I have been feeling pretty worried for this country.
Right.
And it is, thank God I have friends that remind me that the battle's already won, but I'm scared of what we're about to go through as a
Really?
nation.
And so does that mean you don't have perfect peace?
I have the ability to have it. Yes.
And do you have it?
I can't say I do right now, Jesse. I can't say I do. I mean, I, what are you going to say?
What do you? How does it feel knowing that the world is not going to change? Nothing going to change. It's going to only get worse. Even if you got Donald Trump in, the great white hope, right? The only thing he can do is make it a little bit more comfortable for us to function on Earth as far as
Yeah.
work and protect us with the border, threaten our enemies by being strong. But he can only make us a little comfortable and function on the Earth. But the world is only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Are you prepared for that?
I'm getting there, and God has been convicting me to get there. So there's certain things in my life, you know, I'm 42 years old, and there's certain things that he's helped me get rid of in the past, you know, outward things, but he's working on my heart right now. And that has been, I would say this last 2 years has been very humbling, and he is working, but it's not, we're, I think that he's a, those of us who are going through a lot right now, that's him preparing us. And I will say that when I'm not spending time with him every single day in prayer and in his word, I'm not getting ready, you know? But when
If
I am spending time with him in prayer and in his word, I do feel more, I feel at peace.
right, if it were possible for you to have perfect peace just like that, would you take it?
Absolutely.
You would take it?
I would.
Do you want me to tell you how you can have it right now and forever and ever? Amen.
Sure.
You got to drop your anger.
Oh, that's not easy. I do.
And
Yes.
why do you say it's not easy?
You know what? This is funny that you're telling me this because that is what exactly what God has been convicting me to work on is, for one, anger energizes me. So I'm like, when I get angry, I'm clear. My mind is clear. I feel stronger. I'm able to get more done. There's like an energy that comes when I'm mad, right? I remember realizing this as a kid when I would play basketball. I wasn't a very good basketball player, except for when I was mad. And when I was mad, I could actually play basketball. I was like, wow, I could actually play because I'm angry, right?
Right.
But, and I've also had some stuff happen to me recently, like just, you know, in this last year that have definitely set me off a little bit to be a little more angry. And God is definitely convicting me to work on that. The problem is Satan likes to reopen wounds. He likes to, you know, you feel like you're healing and then something happens to you that just reopens a wound and you're back to being angry and resentful and mad
Right.
again. So I'm,
And
it's definitely a work in progress. But if you saw the collie from 15 years ago, you'd be like, okay, she is better than what she was 15 years ago.
amazing. Why do you think anger light up the mind rather than darken the mind? Since anger is evil, it's a dark spirit. Why do you think it enlighten the mind rather than darken the mind?
You know, it depends on what type of anger, because there's righteous indignation.
What is that?
You know, like when Satan, when not when Satan, but when, of course, you know, when Jesus went into the halls, went into the church and into the temple, and he called them vipers and snakes and overturned tables. What was that? Was that from a place of righteous indignation? You know, what are your thoughts on that? Because I think that, you know, for example, like when someone like Waltz, Tim Waltz, he's in favor of late term abortions, and the last he actually made it so that late term abortions no longer get reported in his state. So yeah. The last late term abortion that was reported was a 31 week old baby. And this was in 2022. We don't know how many since then because they don't have to report them anymore.
Right.
And he turned his state into a late term abortion sanctuary where women can go there and they don't have to have any reason for it. No medical reason for it. 'Cause I'm not talking about medical reasons. They can go get a late term abortion for any reason. No questions asked. It's just between her and her doctor. That makes me angry. Is that a sin to be angry about that?
Why would you get angry because some other woman decides you want to kill the children, her children and the man's children in her womb? Why does that make you angry?
Because I've always wanted to be a mom. And the lack of compassion and love for a baby is and killing that baby, just it's upsetting. Like
Do you think God get angry at him for passing those laws, or the woman who killed the baby in the womb? Do you think God get angry about that?
I do think that God there. I think that in the Bible, there's evidence that God does get mad.
Do you think he gets
righteous
angry
indignation
about that?
Yeah. There's a righteous indignation. I mean, I don't know. I think that we're in a very wicked time. Yeah. So there's a lot of, whenever we're in a lot of wickedness, there's a lot of mercy. And I do think that God has a lot of mercy during this time as well. I think that, you know, I know that God will forgive you no matter what you do, as long as you come to him and you repent and you change your ways. But I do think that there is a place for righteous indignation.
But if there is no anger in God, how can he get angry?
What do you mean? Say it again.
If there is no anger in God, how can How can he get angry?
What Bible verse is that, though? I've never seen a Bible verse where he said he has no anger in him.
Have you seen anywhere in the New Testament would God or Christ get angry?
Yes.
Where?
When he went into the temple and they were selling in it.
But he did that out of perfect love. He did not have human anger.
I agree with you on that, but it manifests itself as anger.
He was not emotional about it at all. He felt nothing about it. He dealt with it without emotion.
See, I don't necessarily agree with you on that because Jesus wept. I think he does show emotion.
He wept, and why did he weep?
Because so many people were turning away from him because he was about to do a miracle and he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. And even that wasn't going to convince some of the Jews at the time to believe in him. And so he wept because he was so sad that so many people were choosing to not believe.
Well, he wasn't sad about it. He just wept because he realized that people could not see. But he didn't like feel anything about it. He didn't go home and tell
mama. I believe Jesus can feel emotion. Absolutely. I think he came as a human.
But he
came. I think he came. Yeah.
Earth, he experienced that in that fallen state, the ego state, which is of the devil. Mm-hmm. But he had to go through that so we could become free from it.
Yes.
I want to restate. Why do you think you have a clear mind when you're angry and you think you have real energy when you're angry, when anger is a dark spirit? Why do you think darkness lighten up the mind?
I don't think that every time I'm angry, there's a dark spirit. I have to disagree with you on that, Jesse.
Okay.
But I do think that there are times when I'm angry and it's not of the Lord. It's not. I will say that when I first posted against Black Lives Matter, what caused me to do that was on Friday night, the very, I think George Floyd died that week. And the Friday night of protests, there was a black man that was killed. And that I posted out of, like, what are you guys doing? You guys are killing black men. You say that Black Lives Matter, yet these protesters are killing black people. And it came from a place of frustration, of anger, but I don't think that it was evil. I don't think that, you know, I mean, I was on my knees for 3 hours crying because I knew I was going to lose a lot of friends posting against Black Lives Matter. And he asked me to do, God really convicted me to put, to say it in a very straightforward way and not, you know, say, you know, not flower it with a bunch of language that makes it seem like I'm kind of supportive of it, right? No, I straight up said Black Lives Matter movement is satanic, and it's an evil spirit.
It's definitely evil, you know, that's for sure.
Yeah, and
believe,
so
No, finish your point.
Yeah, and so I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, I don't think that when you feel maybe we feel anger differently, but I will say that there's some times where I'm emboldened and out of emotion feel the need to share something in a very straight way that could come across as angry, but it's coming from a place of love because I absolutely love Black America. My whole career was pretty much serving black and brown kids. Like,
amazing. Yeah. Uh-huh. Jesus said that anyone that is angry, anyone that has anger is a murderer, and you should not trust an angry person. They mm-hmm. cannot be trusted, and they are murderer. And if Jesus said anger, anyone that has anger is a murderer, why would he want you to be angry?
I think that more has to do with hatred.
Well, is it anger or hatred?
I don't think that anger is always hatred. Absolutely not.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Well, in the good old days.
Like, for example, when I shared about Black Lives Matter, that wasn't when I was very straightforward about that and upset that a black man was killed at one of the protests. I wasn't angry at I wasn't like putting that anger on any individual person. It was more just really concern over what's going on in America right now and out of love. It was really out of a place of love. And I did a whole post on that about how much I love Black America and I want to see them successful. Right. And sometimes you chastise and you rebuke those that you love. You know, when you correct your son or your daughter, you're telling that it may seem like you're angry at them. It doesn't mean that you hate them. It doesn't mean that you want to murder them. It means you want them to grow and learn.
So when Christ said anyone that has anger is a murderer, you think he meant something else?
I don't think that he meant that we're not supposed to ever be angry. I think it's a type of anger. Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Do you? I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, so, I just laughed. Yeah.
Do you believe is Christ God or the Son of God?
I believe it's three in one. They're all this. They're we. First of all, to understand the Trinity is like asking your dog to understand what it is to be human. Right? We'll never fully understand the Godhead. We'll
you
never
fully understand what now.
No, to understand the Trinity, the Godhead.
Where did you get that idea from about the Trinity? Where did that come from?
From the Bible.
Where is that in the Bible?
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
There is no teaching of the Trinity at all anywhere in the Bible.
I know where you're going with this. And I, Jesse, like,
where am I going?
Trust me, I will get ready. If we want to have this conversation another day, I will get ready for it. Because I am pretty good at debating theology.
Really?
But Yes. I have studied my Bible.
I don't want to debate it. I'm just saying it's nowhere in the Bible.
Yes. So you don't believe in the Trinity?
It doesn't exist.
Okay. That's cool. I mean,
No.
I do.
There's nowhere. Yeah. There's no teaching of the Trinity in the Bible at all.
Well, there's the Godhead. There's the Father. You know, when God says we in the Bible, when he refers to himself as more than one, what
when
do you think that is?
When he said we, he was speaking Italian.
Like I said, I'm happy to do this debate another time when I'm more prepared. Like, I'll bring my verses. I'll bring my husband. He's really, he's got it all memorized. But
amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask. So you don't really believe that you can live in perfect peace right here on earth.
Oh, no, I've experienced it at times.
But do you believe that you can live that way all the time?
I hope so, but I haven't myself.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah. Yes.
Were women created to lead or to follow?
I think we were created. Okay, so go back to Genesis. Where did God take the body part from Adam? What body part did he take to create women, a woman?
What body part?
Yes, he took the rib to create the woman, right?
Right.
And I think that we were supposed to be partners, right? But then the woman fell first and the curse came. And the curse is that the woman will always be in submission to the man. And that's what we've seen in history. And I think in this fallen state, we're going to always be in a submissive state towards men because we are the weaker race. I mean the weaker sex, not the race. We are the weaker sex. I mean, that's just in manifest. If you watch the Olympics, the men, they're always going to do better than the women. And that's why we have to separate the sexes. So, but I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know if God's going to restore a more partnership in heaven. I don't know the details on that, but I do think that for now here on this earth, we are always going to be the weaker sex.
And so were women created to lead or to follow?
I think that when there isn't a man who's available to lead, he will go to a woman, just like how he did in the Old Testament with the judges.
Amazing. Should a man ever tell a woman his problems?
I prefer not to have that. My husband's really good at, and I'm really grateful to that about that for, with him. He takes his biggest issues and problems to the Lord. And that is just something I love about him. And sometimes he'll even protect me from drama that we're having financially or, you know, someone's trying to take, for example, my husband, he got this job and this person called and tried to get him fired, right? He didn't even tell me about that till it was all resolved, right? Yeah, so he's really good about that.
You are very fortunate to have a husband like that.
Oh, I think that's something that I've been asked, like, what do you think is a really good trait in a man? And that's a man who doesn't use their wife to be their counselor, comforter. I'm not your mama. Like, be the man, you know?
That's amazing. Tell your husband I said fist bump.
I will. He would like you.
Thank you. That is really amazing. One other quick question about that. Do women who are educated make for good wives and mothers?
Educated in what is the question?
Period.
I think nowadays, probably most of them that want to have like a full on boss babe career, no. So they're too focused on their career to really be a good wife and a mother. I think that divides your attention, and children are only young once. And that's part of the reason why I said God closed the door for me to be a mom, because if I had children right now, I probably would shut down my social media. I would not be traveling to do all of the interviews I've done or the presentations I do to the middle school kids with YAF, Young America's Foundation. I know how social media affects me, so I wouldn't want to bring that to my children. I also would want to be an example for them, so I wouldn't be on my phone, right? But I think a lot of women aren't willing to make that sacrifice of their own, what they want in life for their children, right? And so, especially when it comes to a career, like a career you've been working hard for and you put all this money into by going to college and getting a bachelor's and a master's, and then you're supposed to just give it up for a child. A lot of them don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I think that you want a woman that will naturally feel comfortable with putting herself aside to raise her children, and not in a way where you're completely like sacrificing yourself for your kids, but in a way where you're not being selfish and you're willing to, you know, water to take the time to raise your children right, which takes time.
And so when you're this honest with other women about these types of things, how do they treat you? What do they think? What do they think of you? How do they react?
I don't know very many women that have done it right. Actually, most of my friends are all single moms.
Oh.
And I feel so bad for them because they want so. And actually, most of the women I know want to have that life of being able to just take care of their kids at home. But they can't because the dad's either gone or they don't make enough money. So they both have to work. I will say the tides are turning on that, like that a lot of women are realizing that, wow, what a gift we had in the 50s and the 60s where we were able to stay at home and raise our kids. Yeah. Because this life of raising our kids and working full time is so stressful.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with the blacks?
Your question. Sorry. I love you, Jesse.
Oh man.
What do you think? I know you have. I've seen you go viral several times on this subject.
And so what's wrong with the blacks? Not all, but most.
Not all, of course.
What's wrong with the blacks?
If there was one thing that I could change for Black America, like with like this,
yes,
I would remove all of the debased music. All of the music that is, because here's an example. I taught for 3 years. I used to take Black kids on college tours and help them get into college, because in my city, our graduation rate for Black kids was 40%. Rest of the city, 80%. And yeah. At that point, that's when I believe that we actually do need to have a real intervention for these group of kids, right? So I helped to get their graduation rate to 100% in 3 years. Yes. And so, what I did is I took them on college tours. I took them on retreats. I let them see outside of their little like ghetto world they were in. Right. Yeah. But here's what happened to one of my students who dropped out of the program. And actually I don't know what happened with him because I left while he was still a junior. But when he was a freshman, he came in and he was the sweetest, most innocent, kind, bright-eyed boy. And then he started listening to that debased gangster rap constantly in his ears, always in his ears, these messages. I think it's more powerful. You know, people are like, oh, you're trying to brainwash your child by bringing them to church. No, what are you putting in between their ears? What are you putting in front of their eyes on the screen? That's way more brainwashing than some pastor in a sermon once a week, okay? He started listening to that debased music and it completely changed his character. He became like this like wannabe gangster kid. And I had been done with the program by then, but I found out that his senior year, him and his friend ended up date raping a girl. And I'm like, that was not the boy I met when he was a ninth grader. And I saw him become, I have seen this so many times, these sweet, beautiful children become corrupted by the media and the music that they are absorbing. And I think that's especially happening for Black America. So if I could change our music, if I could go back to the music that we had in the 60s, in the 50s, like making some of the greatest music that's ever been made.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. If we could have young people listen to that, all the love songs, we don't even have love songs anymore.
Right.
The songs now, I mean, you think about the love songs of the 60s and the 50s, they're just beautiful.
Amazing.
They're just, you know, yeah. And now it's all about just disgusting stuff. I mean, I'll go to the gym sometimes and I'll ask them to turn the music off or change it because I don't want to hear this. This is, if you wrote down those lyrics and you said them out loud, you'd be like, this is so, it's like the most debased stuff you could say. And it's constantly in their ears and it's programming these kids to act differently. So if I could change one thing about Black America, it would be that.
A couple of other quick things I want to ask because of time here. Do you believe racism exists?
Not in the liberal definition, but I do believe that there is, I am not someone to deny systemic racism. I will say that systemic racism happens a lot on the Democrat side.
Really?
And so lowering standards for Black and brown kids, for example, getting rid of changing the way you teach math lessons. So in California, there was a guide that came out that was given to all the teachers that was called, I think it was called like racism in mathematics. And in it, they said that requiring kids to get the right answer is a white supremacist construct in math.
Yeah, I know. I remember hearing that.
Yes. And so I think that is racist to not think that black and brown kids can get the right answer.
Could it just be hatred? They don't love the blacks and they want to keep them down. You know, God said our battle is a spiritual battle, warfare between good and evil, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirit. Could it be they just hate the blacks and they're just using them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I do think that they are guided by evil spirits on this. And I do think that, here's the thing, Black America has been through adversity. We have had, in the past, lots of adversity. And usually adversity makes a people stronger.
It makes you stronger.
But that's not what's happening right now.
Right.
We're getting weaker. We're getting fatter. We're more obese. That's part of the reason why they love pushing that statistic that COVID was taking out more Black Americans. Well, that's because more Black Americans are obese.
They were peeing out.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not, and that's not how we're meant to be. You look at pictures of Black America in the 50s and the 60s, and oh my goodness, everyone is so good looking.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what happened?
Everybody was thin too.
Yes.
All of my girlfriends I ever dated were thin.
Uh-huh.
They had nice little bodies. Yeah. And then this one fat girl tried to date me in high school, and I didn't like it.
And, and that's what it was. It was one fat girl. That was it. It wasn't everybody. Half the girls. Yeah, exactly.
That is so true. What the? So let me ask, what is love?
God is love. And I think it's the fruits of the spirit. I think it is. It comes from God. You can't love without true love comes from God. I think it's self-sacrifice, being willing to put yourself aside to love and help someone else. But the best way I can define it is God is love. He is.
So I got to put you on the hot seat.
But I feel like I've been on the hot seat.
But first I got to ask, where is the kingdom of heaven?
Where's the kingdom of heaven?
Where is it?
Well, do you mean like God's actual kingdom?
Yes, where is the kingdom of heaven?
Do you believe in the literal heaven that we're, or do you think it's just like a spiritual place?
Well, I just want to know, where is the kingdom of heaven?
Because we are temples, so God can reside in us. So wherever God is his kingdom, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, because he is the king. But I do believe there is a literal temple in heaven and a literal heaven place that's the kingdom of heaven.
And so before I put you on the hot seat here.
Sure.
Do you believe, I asked this earlier, do you believe that you can live a perfect life right here on earth, a peace and perfect life right now?
I absolutely do believe
and
that.
Do you
and
want
a lot
it?
Of people, a lot of Christians don't believe that.
Right, I know.
They think we'll always be in a fallen state. I think that it's Christ's character replicated in us, and Christ can't reside at the same time as Satan, right? He can knock on the door, and he can be there guiding you and help, but he can't reside in you.
Right, that's for
sure. When you have Christ in you, you are perfect in that moment, right? But you can also deny Christ and go the other way. And
so do you want perfect peace right now?
If I could have it, yes.
Do you want it?
Yes.
Drop your anger. Forgive your mother. You got to forgive your mother.
I do. That's actually not the person I have a problem with. I love my mom.
Have you forgiven her?
I do forgive her. Have
you forgiven her?
I have forgiven her, yes.
And did you tell her that?
I have not told her. I mean, we've gone through, my mom is, she had me when she was very young.
Of course.
And she was very hurt by my dad. And she also went through a horrible midlife crisis when I was in my teenage years. I will say menopause has been very good for my mom, going through all that and getting rid of being trying to feel sexy or whatever. we have had so much healing in our relationship. I can't even tell you.
And have you forgiven her?
I have forgiven her.
And did you
I
tell her that?
I have not told her like straight up. I mean, there's been times where we've cried together and she said, sorry.
And why have you told her straight up? How will you be free if you don't go to her and forgive her?
I will. I will.
No,
you know, that's a really good idea, because that is what God is calling me to do, is to get rid of some of the anger that I have for people in my life.
And forgive your father for not protecting you from your mother. Your mother was not easy to deal with. And forgive her for turning you away from your father and recreating you in her image. Your father loved you. He just didn't know how to deal with your mother. Your mother was not a victim. She was a victimizer. And your father loved you, but she turned you away from him and turned him away from you. You got to forgive your father for not protecting you from your mother. And when you forgive them, because they can help themselves, God will forgive you and give you perfect peace. But it's not going to happen until you do that.
I hear you, Jesse. I mean, I don't think you're 100% accurate on that, but I hear you.
In what part I'm not accurate about?
I don't think my mom was trying to turn me away from my father.
Well, why do you think you identify with her then, thinking that she was a victim?
Oh, I don't think she was a victim either.
Right.
Yeah.
So why are you angry at your father then?
I'm not angry at him either, actually.
Have you forgiven him?
My father, I have my stepdad and I have my biological dad. And my stepdad is who I call my dad now. And when I was 20 years old, he came and visited me when I was living in Hawaii. And we embraced and forgave each other of all of, and we have been so close since then.
And have you forgiven your biological father?
My biological father, he is a Jamaican that smokes weed all day. Actually, he's cut out weed now, but
I thought that's what everybody does. They do in Jamaica. It's Jamaica, baby. Have you forgiven your biological father?
We don't even talk, so no.
How will you ever know God and love God when you don't love your biological father?
That's true.
No, that was a question.
Yeah. I don't know how to answer you that, Jesse, so I'm just going to pray about it.
You're never going to love God, whom you never see, and resent your earthly father, who you have seen and who represent God. You can never love God until you forgive your earthly father, and you would never know God or get to God until you forgive your earthly father. And when you go and forgive your mother and forgive your father, then God will forgive you and everything will change. It's not going to happen until you do that.
I hear you. And I will ask God to give me the strength to do that.
And he's not going to give you the strength to do it. He's going to let you see that you are in hell because you resent them. And in fear and trembling, you will go and face them. Mother, I'm sorry for resenting you. You imposed your will on me, or whatever she did, right? You turned me away from my father. You played victim. And Dad, I'm sorry for resenting you for not protecting me from my mother. Then God will forgive you. Then you'll be able to honor your parents, because honoring your parents means don't resent them. They could not help themselves. But he cannot get rid of the spirit of anger until you face them and forgive them with no expectation from them at all. He will forgive you when you forgive them.
I hear you, Jesse, and I'll call my dad.
And your mother, too. Make sure you face your mother. And don't let the devil tell you, oh, that's your mother. She did this for you. Your mother went through that. The devil trying to talk you out for forgiving because he doesn't want you to enter into the kingdom. You forgive, God said. Go and forgive, and I will forgive you. Amazing, huh?
You're going to make me cry, so I'm not going to...
Let me know how it goes, all right?
Oh, okay, anyone else with daddy issues, I know you can fill me on the other end.
But I can promise you, you're never going to love God until you can love your earthly father, not your whatever stepfather, whatever he was.
I think that's true. I think that, you know, and I have with God, I have struggled a lot with feeling like he doesn't love me or he's, and I, of course I've come to a place, I'm older now, I'm wiser now, and I read my Bible more, and I've seen what he's done in my life over and over again. It's not as bad as it was, but I still get to that place sometimes. And I think
you
that
can
has
read
to do
your Bible till the cows come home.
Yes.
You can get on your knees and pray, Lord, save me. Oh, God, do that. And God doesn't hear your prayers. It's you're praying to the devil. God hear your prayer when you can admit you're wrong for judging.
And forgive.
For playing God, for mm-hmm. holding things against yourself and others. Then he mm-hmm. will forgive you and make you free.
You know what I'm getting from this, Jesse, that's so, it's kind of a revelation for me, and I'm glad to have this conversation with you, is how important forgiveness is.
Yes.
And I think that we make excuses in our mind because we've been hurt, right?
Yeah.
We make excuses to not forgive and to hang on to anger. And I feel blessed to be reminded and to be told this. So thank
and,
you.
And I'm glad. I hope you do what you need to do to be free. But anger mm-hmm. is evil, is wicked, is of the mind and emotions, and is of the devil. Anyone that has anger is of their father, the devil. Those who forgive will become sons and daughters of God. It's not going to happen any other way. You can go to church, you can quote scripture, you can pretend to be Christian, but you have no love as long as you have anger.
Mm.
Amazing. Real fast, just call my mind up, and then I got to do the hot seat. Who are you?
Who am I?
Yes.
I've never been asked that question before. I am a teacher and a wife and a mother, even though I don't have my own kids. I am a lover of food.
Speak up a little bit.
I'm a lover of food. I love other people. Fiercely, ever since I was young, I have a fierce sense of right and wrong, which I think that's what God has put into me. And someone who no longer wants to see the world. I don't want to witness any more evil stuff anymore. I want to see what God intended this world to be.
So you told me what you do and what you like, but you didn't tell me who you are.
Who are you, Jesse? I mean, I'm the best I can say is I'm a daughter of the King.
You told me who you belong to, but who are you?
Yes. Gosh, I don't know how to answer that question. You need to give me an example.
I want you to smoke on that and let me know when you discover. And here's okay. what I do want to tell you, though. It's so amazing. When you discover who you're not, then you will know who you are.
Mm.
But you're never going to discover who you're not until you start working on yourself and overcome anger, overcome the imagination and emotions. And then the real you will appear. Amazing.
Okay.
Amazing. So listen, I got to put you on the hot seat. Wipe up all the tears. I got to put you on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The hot seat.
What is a man?
A man has XY chromosomes and is a protector of women and children, and has a penis.
Do human beings have a free will?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Is the earth
flat? We're not robots.
I'm sorry?
I said we're not robots.
Is the earth flat or round?
From my understanding, round.
Do we need more white babies?
We need more babies in general. So
do you
babies.
Love white people?
Absolutely.
True or false, abortion is worse than slavery.
Abortion is worse than slavery. True.
Has anyone ever told Papo to beat you.
Has anyone ever told what?
Has anyone ever told Hoppo to beat you? Remember that movie Color Purple? You told Hoppo to beat me.
Oh, I do not like the movie Color Purple. I think that's one of the worst movies ever made. And the book. The book is awful.
Yeah, you're right about
it's
that.
It's fictional. It's fictional, and it portrays black men as awful.
It did a horrible job for black men, that's for sure.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Yes. I hate that movie. It was very disturbing. My mom made me watch it, and I was like, why did you make me watch this?
Yeah, it was a horrible movie. Have you ever seen a ghost?
I have seen a demon impersonating a human, yes. And it was a ghost of someone that was dead, but it's impersonating a dead person.
Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Or Beyonce? Uh-huh.
I mean, if I had to choose, it would be Beyonce, but I don't like either. I really don't like Taylor Swift's music. I think her music is trash. But I think Beyonce has some songs I like, even though I don't like her as a person.
Does a chicken have lips?
I've had chickens, so no. I don't think they have lips. No.
True or false, the Jews own everything.
Almost true. It's getting there.
Is it wrong for a black man to love the Confederate flag?
No, it's not wrong to love the Confederate flag. I don't think so.
True or false, sending your child to a public school today is child abuse.
I think that depends on where it is, because some public schools are worse than others. If it was my school, yes. That I worked at.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And that's not even talking all the leftist stuff. That's just the way the kids treat each other. I mean, it's awful.
Have you ever told anyone how the cow ate the cabbage?
Huh? How the cow ate the cabbage?
Yeah.
Sounds like farts.
Did you have fun?
I did, Jesse. This was the most interesting interview I've ever had. I'm sure a lot of people have said that to you.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, and thank you for taking on the hot seat. Tell the folks how to get your books, your school information, whatever, your website, whatever you want to give out.
So my name is Kali Fontania, and I have a K-12 online school that's fully accredited. You can go to thinkexodus.org to learn more about my school. I'm on most social media. But more importantly, just share about my school. Keep me in your prayers, especially with the whole forgiving my dad.
and your mother.
If you want to learn more, and my mom. And if you want to learn more about my school, you can go to thinkexodus.org.
Right on. Well, mm-hmm. Again, I want you to know it's going to be harder to face your mother than it is your father. Because the devil's going to tell you, she did this, she did that, don't treat her, she did, she had this rough life. Because he doesn't want you to forgive the mother. Because a lot of people don't know they need to forgive their mothers, right? So they stay in hell. But go to both of your parents. They did the best they can do. Their parents screwed them up. Forgive them. God will forgive you. Don't let evil talk you out of it. Have no expectation from them, and you shall be free. All right?
I love it. Thank you, Jesse.
Let me know how it goes. And thank you again for coming on. I do appreciate it. And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to support us by going to thefallenstate.tv/donate. And then click on the description there and go to locals.com and support us. Like, follow, ring the bell, subscribe. And I do appreciate it. Check out the merch and all that. Thank you all for tuning in. And thank you again for coming. That was amazing.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care now.